At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
On a give for the all-time leading rusher for the Niners. Stephon Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got getting away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 26 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. Feel free to reach out and ask me any questions you have. I had somebody reach out this past week and ask me, hey, where did I get my data from for all the kick return data that I was looking at last week? And I went ahead and replied to him, and you can go see that on my X account, and you can also just ask me any other questions you have. I am totally open to helping out, sharing my sources, things like that, because everything that I do is something that can be replicated by something else. I'm not trying to hoard this data that, hey, I'm the only one ever with it. I might not hand some of it out immediately if it took me a long time to get it, compile it, etc. But it's that sort of thing of, hey, everything that I'm talking about is just questions that I'm asking and things that I feel like that you as a fantasy player are going to want to know and things that I want to know too. So I am more than willing to help anybody out, especially if you're looking at, hey, how can I get into this space? How can I start using some of these principles on my own teams and my own content? Please come and talk to me. Before we get fully into the episode, I just want to make sure to shout out our sponsor, Manscaped. If you use the code SHFF20 at checkout, you can get 20% off of any Manscaped order. So once again, that's SHFF20 to get 20% off of any Manscaped order. So now that we're 3 weeks into the season, I want to start looking at what warp looks like. We have one more week of where we have every single team playing, and then we're going to start getting into bye weeks. And bye weeks start to throw a lot of things haywire, because we're going to have some weeks where we have six teams on bye, we're going to have some weeks where there's only two teams on bye, some where there's none in the middle. It's just going to go crazy, and we aren't going to be able to draw any great conclusions from it until we get all the way to playoffs. So that's what I'm trying to look at for these first 3 weeks. Okay, what did it look like for these 3 weeks? Because for most of us, our playoffs last 3 weeks. And so that's what we're going to be paying attention to. What I want to do is look at where does this year's warp graphs compare to last year and also compare to the average of the past 5 years when you're looking at weeks 1 to 3. The reason that I want to do both is because we understand the aggregate across 5 years in general, but the thing that's on the back of our mind that's easier to compare to is just 1 year ago. We remember that season a lot better than we do the season 4 years ago. Like, we understand, hey, 4 years ago, offenses were much better, and that was that crazy scoring 2020 season. But we don't really remember what that meant in a fantasy's purpose. And we also didn't have Warp then. Whereas last year, we were watching Warp as the season went on. We were paying attention to those sorts of things. And so I want to look at, okay, what does it look like for this year? So one thing that you can also do is I am using a certain league that is under my username. So if you pop open the Warp tool and you punch in Koopa Troopa 8, and you pull up the league NFL Legends Dynasty League 5. That's just the name of this league, but it is your bog standard 4 point per passing touchdown PPR league. No additional crazy scoring settings, nothing. That's the one that I'm using. But I am using this league, and so if you want to pull it up in the Warp tool yourself, feel free to. But I'm also going to tweet out three pictures. These three pictures are centered in on the player ranks from 1 to 42 with the same exact heights. So that way you can very easily flick back and forth between the 2023 season, 2024 season, and the composite across multiple years. And the reason for that is that way it makes it really easy to... You can just do left and right on your keyboard, or you can swipe left and right on your phone and see, oh, this line went up, this line went down. And you can more easily follow, hey, what are the differences between these different graphs? Because it's a little harder to tell unless you start looking at the numbers themselves. Whereas if you just flip back and forth between the pictures really fast, it's much easier to tell visually, hey, how do these positions compare to each other? And so I'm going to talk through what I have noticed from this, but if you notice anything different, please let me know and I'll talk about it. So the first thing that I've noticed is that wide receivers warp-wise are about the same as previous years. You would think that they might be a little bit different, but in terms of warp, they are basically exactly the same all the way down the entire position. The very top end, there are a couple more wide receivers that are higher up. And by the top end, I'm literally talking about the guys that are first, second, and third overall. But otherwise, it's basically follows the whole way. So in terms of how much of a difference maker were guys last year, they're about the same this year. And so that is something where, okay, when I'm trying to build my teams, I still want to build it around a lot of wide receivers. That's going to be what's important this year, is having some top tier wide receivers. The biggest difference between last year and this year is the running back position. Running backs are significantly more impactful this year. The difference between 2023 and 2024 for any given running back is a tenth of a warp. And across a full season, that would be a 0.5 warp. And when you're comparing this across two starting running backs, having those running backs, just the difference from last year to this year, straight what is the same exact team, you get a 20% boost off of having better running backs on your team in terms of, am I going to win across these 3 weeks? And so that sort of difference is what I am looking at as, okay, this season I need to have some stronger running backs if I'm going to be a top contender, if I'm going to have a big difference within this league compared to my other league mates. The running back position is much more impactful. And that is the antithesis to what we saw last year, what we saw in previous years of, hey, these running backs are depressed. We don't need to focus in as much on them. Instead, we want to be focusing in on some of those running backs. We want to target some of those guys that are doing quite well, or we even think might be doing quite well or have that opportunity. Your more veteran running backs should carry a little bit more of a premium in terms of what you are willing to pay, which should hopefully mean that if you don't have any of those guys on your team right now, that you should feel vindicated in saying, I want to be able to go out and get them, and you get them on your team and you'll have a better chance at winning a championship compared to if you had done the same thing last year. So that is the first major thing that I'm going to take away from this in terms of how am I changing what I'm doing based on the strategies that I ended up playing last year, is that those running backs are more impactful. They are more important. And so I need to go out and get some of those guys now before everyone else starts siphoning them off the teams that aren't competing and things like that. The quarterbacks, they are slightly depressed. The way I would describe it is it's like we took three of the top six quarterbacks out of the sample, but then everyone else is the same. So in general, like last year's quarterback 12 is the equivalent of this year's quarterback 9. Last year's quarterback 15 is pretty similar to this year's quarterback 12. Things like that. The only thing is that we still have a couple of the top tier guys, and those top tier guys are the ones that we kind of expected they would be. So far this year, those are Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Jaden Daniels. So when you think about, hey, who has that potential to be in that difference-making range? Of course it's the rushing quarterbacks, and we should have known that coming into the season, and we're seeing that appear again now. But what we're seeing is the guys that aren't making as much of a difference but are still causing a lot of buzz. The next couple guys are Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Sam Darnold, right? Those three are three quarterbacks that everyone's talking about of how much do you really want to pay for these guys? Like, are they really, really worth it to get them? And the answer is they're cheap. So if you're able to go out and get them for maybe 2 seconds or a second and a third or something like that, they're definitely going to be worth it for you. But you also have to understand that they're just in what is closer to this full range. The reason you would potentially not want those guys is, hey, you're sitting on a Tua Tagovailoa who got hurt. Like, okay, now you want to go and get one of those guys. But you don't need them if you already have Jalen Hurts and Kyler Murray. Or you have Anthony Richardson and Dak Prescott. Like, you don't need to go out and get those guys. The difference between them and the quarterbacks you already have is pretty negligible. The only reason you would want to make a move is if you're going off of one of your quarterbacks and turning that value into somewhere else. And this year, that somewhere else is more of that running back position. So I would hesitate against doing too much at the quarterback position outside of, can you get one of those top three? Can you get your Jalen Hurts, your Lamar Jackson, your Jaden Daniels? They're just all also going to be quite expensive. So realistically, can you do that without hemorrhaging your team? Probably not. And so you're kind of stuck with what you already have at this point. And more than likely, what you have is just fine because all the quarterbacks are kind of in this general block together. The last position I haven't talked about is tight ends. Compared to the long-term average, the tight end position is quite depressed. We don't have those difference-making tight ends, those Travis Kelce and Mark Andrews of old, or even going all the way back to like that Rob Gronkowski or whatever when he was really tearing up the league. Like, we don't have any of those absolute top-tier guys that are causing the graph to have a huge spike at that tight end 1 and tight end 2 position. But compared to last year, tight ends are actually doing better, with the exception of the number one overall tight end. Last year, that was TJ Hockenson, and he had a significant spike over all the other tight ends. This year, we don't have that. Brock Bowers is actually the number one tight end from a warp perspective, which how many people had that on their bingo card? And then after that, the tight ends tend to be relatively close together. Kind of have a little bit of a sharper slope off from each other compared to last year. So last year was when we had, at the end of the season, we kind of said we had like 7 or 8 guys that were all in the similar range together. And it's kind of looking like this year that might be the same outcome. The difference is it might not necessarily be 7 or 8 guys. Maybe it's 5 or 6. But there's not going to be any one tight end that it's like, if you have this guy, you are 100% have an advantage over every other manager in your league. You might only be able to have an advantage over half the managers in your league. And when you start talking about, okay, how many teams are making it into playoffs and things like that, you probably are not going to have an advantage at the tight end position over many other managers in your league if you have one of these top tight ends. If you don't have one of these top tight ends, yes, you're definitely going to be on the back foot, but hopefully you have put some of that value into some other positions, especially if you're talking a standard PPR, no tight end premium. If you have some better running backs than your other league mates, that will probably do much more for you than being stuck with, than having a number 7 tight end or number 6 tight end or something like that. So that's the big thing on the tight end position this year. They are doing slightly better. They are slightly more impactful, but it's not enough that I'm really changing anything in terms of any strategies or anything like that. So those are the main things that I'm looking at with Warp this year of, okay, these first 3 weeks, this is what I've seen. And so this is giving me a little bit of confidence in some of those teams where I have some strong wide receivers and I have some okay running backs and I have some decent quarterbacks. Well, if I have a bunch of extra draft capital lying around and I can go grab some of those better running backs, I can get some upgrades and things like that, I can actually make a difference this year. Those running back upgrades are actually going to improve my team at a significant clip and significantly more than in previous years. So that's the main part that I'm looking at. In all my competitive teams, I'm going to focus a little bit more on running backs this year, especially ones that if I know that I have a 1-year window, things like that. Like, you can get running backs pretty cheaply compared to if I need to try and go in and get some better wide receivers. Do I want to try and go get Devonta Smith or DK Metcalf or Tyreek Hill? Or would I rather try to get David Montgomery, Zach Charbonnet, Joe Mixon, and Aaron Jones? That's the kind of difference that I'm looking at in terms of value. All those wide receivers are actually right in that same range as those running backs, but the difference in Warp, the difference in value to your team is they're all the same. It's just the purchase price that is different. And so that's where you can start to find an edge this year, is that all of those guys are the same. If you can turn your DK Metcalf into, say, I don't know, Brian Robinson and Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers, one of the perennial guys that is underrated every single time. Wide receiver 28 on the season so far. He's doing just fine for himself. If you can do that, you are getting yourself a huge Warp advantage. And it seems to me like that value sweet spot, the area where I definitely want to have the running backs in this range, is top 24. Right after 24, we start to see a drop off, and the wide receiver line continues to stay flat. And so that the end of that 24 is Travis Etienne, Isaiah Pacheco, Devin Singletary, Jerome Ford, Zach Moss. Like, any running back that this year you're seeing doing better than those guys, those are the guys that it is fine to target. You don't want to get yourself down into the Ezekiel Elliott, Tyjae Spears, Alexander Mattison range. Like, you don't want to be down there. Even Najee Harris, Josh Jacobs, you need to project that he's going to do better because he's only 29th so far. Rashad White, he's too low and he's losing some work. So, like, you start looking at things like that. You want to make sure your top 24 running backs are what you're going for. But those guys are getting you better value than even trying to go out and get yourself a like a Xavier Worthy. Like, he's wide receiver 26. Like, all the running backs 24 and up are better than him in from a work perspective. And you can probably get trade him for any of those running backs I mentioned, if not multiple of them, and then get yourself an extra kicker of a Diontae Johnson, a Jerry Jeudy, a Calvin Ridley. Like, you can do something like that if you're trying to just push in for a one-year window. And obviously, you know where your team's at, whether you're a one-year window kind of team, whether you're a multi-year window kind of team. Multi-year, maybe you don't want to trade away Xavier Worthy. Maybe you want to slow play that game a little bit. But just remember, you're also trying to hit that first and second round bye. And so you need to understand where you're at. If you're fourth or fifth in your league right now, and you don't see any, you don't see how that is going to change in terms of, oh, I just had a bad matchup week two where I was second most points force and the guy that beat me had the most points force. Well, that's the sort of thing where, okay, you pay attention to that league and you go, I can probably be the number two team in this league. And so then you continue to roll with it. But if you're not, you want to try and get yourself there. And so you need to start making some decisions of, does that value come out of the players on your team, or does that come out of the draft picks that you have? Hopefully you still have a bunch of those and you're able to continue to pump those out. Now on to the last two sections of this podcast. The first one, what has happened in terms of the number of players rostered. Last week we had 59 quarterbacks. That is the same. We had 99 running backs. That is still the same. Wide receivers was 136. Now it is 135. So we've gone down by one. And then tight ends are still 53. So all that happened between last week and this week is we ended up dropping a wide receiver. That's not a big difference. Realistically, that is probably just, hey, we're getting some guys back from injuries, and or some of our speculative choices, especially those Rams wide receivers, didn't do as much as we maybe wanted, so we're dropping them to the waiver wire and just hoping we're getting somebody else that we like. So there hasn't been any shifts so far in terms of number of players rostered, in terms of where we're speculating and that sort of thing, so no shifts from last week. Now for the tight ends don't matter segment. Last week I chose Tommy Tremble. He got us 3 receptions for 29 yards. That was a solid 5.9 point outing. Overall, that was a result of tight end 22. However, when you compare this against the top 16 most started tight ends, and the reason I do the top 16 is because in a normal league, you'll start 12, and I would like to include a couple guys at the end there. He still came in at tight end 10, notably beating guys like Sam Laporta, Trey McBride, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, Dalton Schultz. Like, all of those guys, he did better than. And so that's the sort of thing that we're aiming for. We're aiming for, we have no value at the position, and we're still above replacement. We got tight end 10 out of all the tight ends that we expected to be going against. So that gives us our total season warp. We are now up at 0.005. So we are into the positive range now, and so we're looking to continue that for this coming week. For this week, based on the waiver wire pod, we have the choices of Tommy Tremble, Josh Wiley, Pharaoh Brown, Brock Wright, Elijah Higgins, Charlie Kohler, and Eric Salbert. My choice is going to be Tommy Tremble again. I just liked what he did 2 weeks ago. I liked what he did last week. I'm just going to continue rolling with him for a little while, probably until Ian Thomas comes back from his injury. I'm a little worried that when Ian Thomas comes back, you might see a little bit more of a split in that Carolina room. So that's the main thing that I'm going to be looking out for, but he is on injured reserve, and so he won't be back for week 4. If, for whatever reason, Tommy Tremble is not available, I would go ahead and take a speculative shot at Elijah Higgins or Brock Wright. Keep an eye on those injury updates for Sam Laporta, for Trey McBride, see if they're going to play. Both of them have potential to step into roles of other tight ends this week that are significant contributors to their teams. I'm not expecting them to produce like their respective counterparts. However, they are both tight ends that I would potentially look at and go, they might get a couple schemed things that just cause them to be open as a result. So those are the two I would look at if you're looking for somebody else to potentially go and grab. If for whatever reason those guys have already been grabbed by their respective owners, then you go ahead and get Josh Wiley. So that's everything that I have for you this week. And as always, reach out to me on X at Dynasty Koopa or on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. As always, stay sharp and keep grinding that edge. I'll see you next week.